Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the AJ Steele Show. Before we start this program, which was recorded a few months back, I'd like to warn you that you're going to hear a few selective beeps. Those are there because we've been censored by YouTube, censored and banned for saying things that they didn't agree with. I hope you enjoyed this very special episode of the AJ Steele Show nonetheless.
I don't want to be the boy that runs in the back. I don't want to be the kid that falls in the dark. All I really want to be is the guy that gets that girl.
Welcome to the AJ Steele Show. We discuss politics, sex, money, and everything in between. And now, here's your host, an immigrant, a self-made millionaire, an American, AJ Steele.
Welcome to the AJ Steele Show. I'm so glad to have all of you here with us. Today is 1 week past the inauguration of Joe Biden. It's a dark, cloudy day. It's raining all over here in California. The winds are howling. The leaves are flying everywhere. It almost feels like the darkness, the grayness outside is holding a mirror to what I feel inside. It feels like the end of an era for us conservatives or Trump supporters, if that's what you want to call us. The realization that we lost is sinking in. That's just how it is, like it or not. And there's no Superman coming to save us. There's no Batman, no Spider-Man, no angel from above. This is it. This is Joe Biden's America. The globalists have won. And we, along with the rest of America, we lost. I've been off the air for a while for personal reasons, and I've been thinking about what I was going to say to all of you today. I don't want to sound too negative because everybody around us is negative right now, and there's no point to it. It's not going to make things any better. And I also don't want to sound too hopeful because I don't see a lot of rosy things in our future, at least not the near future. So where do we go with this? The globalists won. Make no mistake about it. Joe Biden is not a president. He's not a full functioning adult. And even in his prime, he never was. But at this point, he is a slightly demented older man who was a perfect figurehead because he was white. He wasn't scary to most Americans. And the globalists knew from day one that he would be a perfect vehicle, a perfect puppet. So am I angry at Joe Biden? I don't like the man. I don't think he's a good man. I think he's a hack. I think he's actually a very cruel, mean human being. But realistically, it's not him that's going to run the show. Not at all. It's not even Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is nothing but a glorified whore, basically, that slept her way to the top. She is of very average IQ, very average intelligence. But she also fulfilled a role, or she filled a role, rather. She was black, or at least she appeared to be black. I mean, never mind that she's married to a white guy and her kids look white and they were all raised in a white neighborhood. And she has truly very little to do with a rank and file average African-American person in America. But in some ways, they were the perfect couple, the perfect running mates, the perfect storm. About a year before Joe Biden was even nominated, I called it exactly the way it happened. I said that Joe Biden would be the nominee for president and Kamala or whatever the heck her name is, would be the vice president nominee. And that they would be extremely formidable and very dangerous to President Trump. And unfortunately, I was right. Now, I can talk all day about the fraud this election was, and it was a fraud in my opinion. I believe that President Trump won in a landslide. But at this point, I can talk about it until I'm blue in the face and it will make no difference at all. Look, all of our institutions have failed us. Anywhere from the Republican Party, which is completely worthless and swampy, I will never vote for them again or give them another single red cent. And of course, the Democrats, at least the old school Democrats that supposedly believe in peace and in democracy and freedom of speech, they failed us completely. And then we could talk about our Congress. We can talk about the media, which is non-existent at this point. It's Pravda, disguised as media. And we can talk about the internet. We know what happened there. Well, the purges, all the censorship. We know that big tech, along with China, are part of this globalist cabal, and they control the whole world at this point. And it leaves us with one guy that we had that we believed in, President Trump, somebody who went up against all of that corruption, all that swamp, all of that greed, but he was just one man. And I think we all realized towards the end of his presidency that he was all alone, truly all alone, with very, very few allies. That's if you don't count the 80 million Americans that voted for him. But realistically, people in high places hated President Trump from day one. He didn't fit in. He wasn't from the country club or from the back rooms. He was what they'd call a nouveau riche, who never really belonged at the table with these snobs, these old money operatives. He didn't act the right way. He didn't speak the right way. He was bombastic. He wanted to do things outside of the box. And they loathed him for that because the establishment does not like people coming in from the outside and telling them what to do. And I'm really sorry to say that they won. They defeated our hero. They took down our champion. And without me becoming too much of a religious preacher, because I'm not one, I think that they've achieved what they wanted to do. They've humiliated him, just like Jesus in some ways, or other biblical or historical figures. And in some ways, when they took him down, they took all of us down, all our hopes, all our dreams, all our wishes for our children and the future of our country. Because the swamp doesn't want anyone like President Trump to ever rise again. So ch***ing him out of the presidency, using fraud, destroying his family life, destroying his reputation in the media wasn't enough for them. They are out for blood right now. And they will teach every single one of us what it's like to go up against the empire. That's what they're doing right now. They're getting their pound of flesh. They're showing us that they're the boss. And sadly, our army leaders, our military leaders, I should say, in our Congress that's supposed to stand up for our rights, and even our Supreme Court, which is the biggest disappointment to me in all of this, will just stand and watch. They will tar and feather this man. They will destroy him. They might lead him to bankruptcy. And in the end, they might just kill him for all I know, because that's what they do and that's what they've done. And like it or not, Joe Biden is our president. I acknowledge that. I'm not happy about that. Kamala Harris is his vice president. I don't like that. I'm not happy about that. But one way or another, they won. And I think the sooner we start acknowledging that, the sooner we can move on with our pain and our suffering and our heartache. And I know that emotions are very raw. But we need to find a way to move on in a constructive way. And we need to find a way to get our voices heard. So no, I don't think America is finished completely. I don't think America is dead yet. But I think that it's hanging by a thread. I think liberty and freedom of speech and gun rights, the Second Amendment, our children's rights, their education, their futures, even our vote, none of that stuff is secure or permanent or forever at this point. And so we need to start thinking of alternatives. Where do we go from here? I don't think that we're at a crossroads anymore, because I think that the dam has been breached. We have driven past the crossroads. We definitely have taken a very strong direction. So at this point, it's not just about crossroads anymore. It's about survival of the fittest. It's about fight or flight. It's about where do we go from here? In some ways, this is uncharted waters for Americans. And in other ways, if you study history, this has happened over and over again. Because life is a cycle, and life has ups and downs. Some people call them yin and yang. But these cycles always reverse themselves. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. That's one of the laws of physics from Newton. And it's true not just in physics and in physical bodies, but also in human behavior. The problem is, I could tell you, oh yeah, things will get better. And they will get better at some point. But I don't know when. And I don't know if they'll get better for us or for China or for another mortal enemy of the United States of America. Look, even Hitler was defeated. Hitler was defeated and the war ended with us winning. So you could say, yes, things got much better for the rest of the world when Hitler died and when his thousand-year Reich was destroyed. But along the way, tens of millions of people died. Millions of people lost their limbs and their health and their homes and their family members and their livelihoods and their dignity. So yes, the world changes all the time. Things go up, things go down, and there's always some kind of a balance in the end. But I'm afraid that we are on a steep downward cycle. And talking about Hitler and the Holocaust, I don't think that Joe Biden is Hitler. I don't think that Kamala Harris is Hitler. I don't even think the globalists are Hitler. I am very careful with that. I am very careful with that analogy because up to now, Joe Biden hasn't gone out and locked up thousands of people or millions of people and put them in concentration camps. So I want to make a distinction. We have to be very careful not to call everybody Hitler. But I'll tell you what. I didn't watch the inauguration. I saw a few photos of the, what was it, like 1,000 people that showed up for Joe Biden, a man who won more votes than any president in the history of America, including his boss, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump. Less than 1,000 people showed up at the inauguration. But forget that for a little while. The night before, I saw photos of flags. Over 250,000 flags were put there to cover up for the lack of people that were going to be there. And that whole look was very eerie to me because it reminded me of Hitler's rallies. It reminded me of all those red flags and the pomp and circumstance and all the armies around there that were just hailing him, "Hail Hitler, Hail Hitler." And it got me thinking about my grandmother and my grandfather who survived Hitler. They survived the Holocaust. They survived slave labor in the death camps. And they brought me here to America. May their memories be blessed forever. But I used to ask my grandma, I used to ask her all the time, "Grandma, you knew this was coming. People knew what Hitler was going to do. He told everyone what he was going to do. Why didn't you do anything about it?" And my dear grandma used to tell me, "Oh, you don't understand, AJ. You don't understand what it's like. You don't understand how they slowly move in into every part of your life and degrade you until you have nothing left to fight with." And being a young guy, I was very young back then, I used to say, "Oh, Grandma, if I lived back then, I would have fought back. They would have never gotten me." And you know what? Now that I'm older and my grandma is long gone and my grandpa is long gone and my parents are long gone and I'm not such a brazen young man anymore like I used to be, I look back and think of what my grandma told me, and I understand. I absolutely understand why they didn't fight back. And it scares me to think that we're on the same path here in America. We're just taking it step by step. Our rights are being taken away from us. And step by step, we're becoming weaker and weaker until we're rendered completely helpless to do anything about it. So anyway, I have to take a short break. And when we get back, I'm going to tell you all about my amazing grandma, Grandma Lily. And this story that I'm going to tell you will show you where we've been and maybe where we're headed. Thank you so much for sticking around with us. This is the AJ Steele Show.
The AJ Steele Show. Think of your loudmouth best friend, hated by all the wives, because he tells it just like it is. Finally see your love belongs
to me. Welcome back to the AJ Steele Show. So we're talking about the election and the inauguration of Joe Biden as new president of the United States of America and what's been happening in our country in terms of free speech and the rights and privileges and protections that regular citizens have. And I started thinking about the Holocaust because I have a very close connection to the Holocaust. My grandparents survived it. And I'm not saying that we're headed that way here in America, but I want to tell you this story as a cautionary tale. because it's very, very important for us not to forget where we came from and where we're going and what's possible. Because there's no end to human kindness, but there's also no limits on the evil, the amount of evil that some human beings are able to perpetuate on other human beings. And in some really sad ways, I hear and I see echoes of this type of evil, this totalitarian, authoritarian type evil, right here in my beloved country of America. So yes, I grew up in the shadows of the Holocaust. My grandparents were from Hungary. They were Hungarian Jews. They lived in Hungary for many, many centuries. My grandma's father was a merchant of fabric. He wasn't rich. He wasn't poor. He was probably a low middle class kind of guy. Tall, blonde, blue eyes. And him and his wife had three kids. My grandma's older brother, her, and then a younger brother. And they weren't devout Jews, but they did come from a devout Jewish family initially. But they really felt like Hungarians in general. Didn't cause any trouble, never started any wars, no battles, just nice, decent, honest, lower middle class people. And I always asked my grandma, because when I was young, I always thought, oh, I would have fought if the Nazis came and started doing this and that. I would have fought back. I would have shot them. I would have done this and that. And I always used to pose to her, Grandma, why? Why didn't you guys resist when the Nazis took over? And she always used to look at me and say, you don't understand. You're very young. You don't understand what they did to us and how it was incremental. They took rights from us. Every day, more and more rights were taken away from us until in the end, we had nothing left and we had no strength to fight back. And I used to tell her, oh, Grandma, if I lived back then, I would have fought back. And she used to smile at me kind of sadly and say, you're young. You'll understand one day. Well, that day is now. My grandma is long gone. So is my grandpa. So are my parents. And I understand what she said now. I get it. I understand what happened to the European Jews. And in some ways, it's the same thing that's happening to us Americans. And not just Jews, Christians, conservatives, free thinkers. The globalist left, in combination with our media and big tech and our school system, they're doing the same thing to us that they did to the Jews back in the 1930s and 40s. Slowly eating away at our rights. Slowly taking away our freedoms, slowly silencing us. And at the end, we're not going to have any strength or any ability to fight back. So listen to this story I'm going to tell you. Like I said, it's a very cautionary tale. And in some ways, it's very analogous to what's happening here in our beloved America. So who was my grandma Lily? She was just a regular child, not too religious, just a regular kid, loved to play. Adored her daddy and her big brother, had a nice careless life, enjoyed her friends, enjoyed dressing up. Just a regular teenager. When she was 14, she went into a photography program. She became an apprentice to a photographer because she wanted to become a photographer. And she had an older brother, a younger brother, a mom and dad, lots of cousins, lots of friends. She was very, very friendly, very outgoing. Never really thought much about being Jewish because the family didn't follow Jewish traditions too much. Politics never crossed her mind because the family wasn't very political. They just lived. They just lived their lives like all the rest of the Hungarians. Yes, they heard about Hitler. Yes, they knew he was an anti-Semite. But they lived in Hungary. That was away from Germany. They weren't right in the line of fire. They thought, this too shall pass. Her dad said, he's just running his mouth, but nothing will happen. Things will go. He'll be restrained, and we'll go back to the way things were. And anyway, we're not religious Jews. We're just Hungarians. No big deal. And that was the attitude of a lot of Jews in the Jewish community in Europe. Until things started getting ugly. The first thing they did was they told my grandma and her family that they can't go to regular stores anymore. They told her, you can't sit on park benches. You can't go to this store. You can't go to this library. You can't go to the regular school. Next thing they did was put yellow stars on all of them. So people will know they were Jews. Even if they didn't look Jewish, everyone knew they were Jews now because they had yellow stars sewn on their clothes. And this was just the beginning. And her dad said, this too shall pass. It can't last forever. It's just a short temporary thing. But it wasn't a temporary thing. All of a sudden, all of their neighbors started spying on them and listening to every word they were saying and calling them traitors, spitting on them when they walked. The boys got beat up when they walked out in the street. The photography studio where my grandma was apprenticing at told her, "You just have to leave. We don't allow Jews anymore." So she ran home crying to her dad. But her dad couldn't help her much either. All of a sudden, all of his customers refused to buy products from him. They didn't want any of his fabrics. They started calling him a dirty Jew. He went from being a community leader, a real decent, nice man whom everybody loved, into a dirty Jew overnight. They started running out of money very quickly, and they began looking very shabby, wearing worn-out clothes, shoes that didn't fit right. And instead of getting emotional support or even friendliness or a feeling that they belonged and people understood them, all they got from their neighbors, the people they grew up with all their lives, was spite and humiliation. And these were the people that they've considered to be their friends for so many years. All of a sudden, they weren't considered to be Hungarians anymore. They went from Hungarians to dirty Jews overnight, because that's what they call them, their neighbors, people they cared about, their friends, their ex-friends, I should say. And my grandma's father and mother were getting very scared. But her father was a pacifist. He was a very gentle man. And he said, it's just a spasm of violence. They always do this, and it's going to go away. And realistically, he didn't have too many options. He had no weapons. He had nowhere to go. The rest of Europe was doing the same thing to the Jews. There was no Israel. America didn't want them. There was nowhere for him to go. This man who fought for his country in the First World War was basically homeless in his own home. And things just got worse and worse. In March 1944, the Germans officially took over Hungary. By May, my grandma, her mom, her two brothers, her dad, over 200 family members and cousins and aunts, they were all put on a train to Auschwitz. The Nazis came to their house, took him out, and put him on a train. And my grandma always told me that she remembered all of her neighbors just looking at them, smiling, waving goodbye, bye-bye, mocking these Jews that they grew up with and lived with all their lives, mocking people who did nothing wrong to anyone. And as soon as those Nazis holding guns forced them out of their homes, their neighbors ran in, started ransacking and stealing everything that they owned. These are the last moments, the last scenes, the last memories that my grandma had of her beloved home in Hungary. This was also the last time she saw her beloved father, who was 40 years old at the time, and her dear brother, who was 18. She would never see them again. Not in this world. Who are we fooling here in America? You think this could never happen here to us? You think they can't just take away your bank account and repossess your home and close down your business, destroy your ability to make a living? You think a bunch of government agents can't just show up at your home in the middle of the night with guns drawn and just take you away from your family, lock you up? We've seen them do this to political opponents in the last 4 years, for heaven's sake. Right here. Right here in America. You really think that all of this couldn't just happen to all of us here? Because if you do think that way, you might be even more naive than my grandmother's parents and the rest of the Jews that lived in Europe. They didn't have the hindsight of history. They didn't know that this could happen because this was the first time ever that this happened, especially on such a large scale. But we have history. We have film. We have books. We have some Holocaust survivors that are warning us of what can happen right here in our beautiful country of America. And yet we just go on with our lives and we just let liberties be taken away from us day by day. And we do nothing about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a short break. And when I get back, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story of my family's Holocaust. This is the AJ Steele Show.
You're listening to the AJ Steele Show, where no topic is off limits, no discussion too harsh, no truth more true. The AJ Steele Show, we tell it like it is. On our radio.
Welcome back to the AJ Steele Show. So in March 1944, there were about 800,000 Jews in Hungary. By May 1945, at the end of the war, less than 150,000 people survived. 650,000 of those Hungarian Jews died at the hands of the Nazis. And of the ones that survived, they didn't just have physical scars, but they had emotional scars for the rest of their lives. But getting back to my grandma's story, by March 1944, the Germans completely and officially took over all of Hungary. By the next month, my grandma and all her family were put on a train to Auschwitz, a three-day ride in a cattle train. They didn't know what was happening. No one gave them water. No one gave them food. They were all thrown in there, women and children and fathers and mothers and aunts and uncles and grandpas and grandmas. 3 days. 3 days in a steaming hot train packed with people. And when they arrived, they were at Auschwitz. By this point, my grandma was already separated from her dad and her brothers because they were separated to the mail trains, I guess. And my grandma had to stand in line with her mother. My grandma was about 16 years old. They took all their clothes away. They stood there naked and they shaved their heads. Could you even begin to imagine your 16-year-old daughter, your mom, who was about 38, just standing there naked, forced to stand in the line to be chosen to life or death? And then they saw Dr. Mengele, the evil doctor of death. And he picked my grandma and her mom to the line of life to do work, to do slave labor. The rest of them, the ones that didn't look very healthy, the ones that didn't look very strong, women with young children, crying babies, they were all sent to the other line. That line ended up in a gas chamber. Gas chambers that killed thousands of people at a time. Women, children, old people, all of them. No hair, naked, fearful, starving, without one soul to help them. And all of them stuffed into these gas chambers with thousands of other naked souls. And then the poison gas, the Zyklon B is released. And they suffocate, all of them, trying to get their last breath, trying to get some oxygen into those lungs. It's a feeling similar to drowning, but you're not in water. And they scream, this mighty scream. They scream to their mothers, they scream to their God. They scream to the heavens, but nothing helps them. And then that fear of death sets in. The horrible panic that every human being, every animal, everything that's ever lived on this earth feels when it knows that it's almost over. And then they just die next to each other, thousands of them. And once they're good and dead, the good Germans had Jewish slaves come out and take their bodies straight into the crematoria. No, these crematoria ovens weren't made to bake bread and German pastries and cakes. No, these ovens were specifically made to burn human beings, or what's left of those human beings. They're mostly Jews and other people that the Germans perceived to be enemies of the government. But my grandma was lucky. She was young and strong, and she had her mom with her. And together they were sent to a slave labor camp where they built bombs for the Nazis. And the chemicals from those bombs were so horrible that all their teeth rotted out. And the only food they had was a little daily ration of bread and what they called soup, which was basically hot water that they boiled with a little salt and a bunch of leaves and grasses that they picked from the grounds of Auschwitz. Oh, I could tell you so many stories because I heard them all firsthand from my grandma. The dead bodies, the smell of burnt flesh, the diseases, the lice. I could tell you all about it. And maybe I'll do just that in great detail in a future show. But as my grandma toiled away, the war was coming to an end. And the Nazis just increased the murder of all those Jews. They wanted to hide all the evidence. They got massive bulldozers and just piled all the bodies into mass graves. And around January, when it's really, really cold in Poland and Germany, under 30 degrees every day, snow everywhere, The Russians were closing in on Poland, and the Nazis decided to take the few remaining Jews to a death march to move them to another camp where they could do more work. So these poor emaciated slave laborers like my grandma, they had one jacket and bad boots that didn't fit right, no socks, no underwear, and they were marched about 50 to 60 miles through the snow. Most of them didn't make it, but my grandma did and her mom did. She told me that she believed in God and that she prayed with every step that she took in that snow. She told me the Nazis kept kicking them and hitting them with every step that they took, and they shot anybody that fell behind. But my grandma persevered, and the Nazis needed the slave labor to build more munitions. But then around late April 1945, all of the Nazi guards started taking off their Nazi uniforms and started acting very nice towards the prisoners. Hey, you need some extra food? Hey, hey, do you need some extra clothes? We don't want you to freeze. And all these poor prisoners who were barely alive didn't know what was going on. They didn't realize that these scummy SS men and women were just trying to save their own hides because they knew the war was almost over. And then in early May, the most beautiful sight that my grandma has ever seen, the most beautiful sight that any man or woman who's been imprisoned and not free has ever seen in their lives, an American regiment walked into the camp. And she told me they looked like angels. They were so tall and strong. They didn't look like regular men. They looked like they were sent from heaven above to save us. And these beautiful, strong, kind American GIs came to them and told them, "You're free." They told my grandma, "You're finally free." And some of those strong, powerful GIs that were just engaged in the worst battles in the world against the Germans cried when they saw these people. They stood there and wept. And my grandma told me that she wanted to cry with them, but she had no tears left in her eyes. She was so broken that she couldn't even cry anymore. And then these angels, these American GIs, emptied everything they had in their pockets. Chocolate, gum, biscuits, whatever little rations they had on them, and they gave them to these starving women, my grandma and her mom. And it was a moment that she will never forget. She has told me about that over and over again. It was the greatest moment in her life to see these American heroes and the jeeps and the American flag. And it's these American heroes, it's this wonderful nation that is responsible for the fact that I'm here today and I have kids and I have a family and I have a good life. They were responsible for saving my grandma and grandpa and countless other human beings and spread the freedom of America to the rest of the world. So when people ask me, why are you so worried about other people? You're not Persian. Why do you worry about the Iranian people? You're not Armenian. Why are you worried about the Armenian genocide? You're not African. Why are you so worried about what's happening in Africa or in Hong Kong, in Taiwan, and the poor Christians in the Middle East, and the Christians being murdered on a daily basis in Africa? And I tell them, it's because no one ever worried about my people. And I wish someone was out there worrying about us too when we needed it. So now that I'm strong and I have the means, I can try to do the best I can for other races, other people, other nations, other religions. And going back to America, this wonderful country that saved my grandma's life, my whole family's life, this wonderful country that gave me everything, it seems to be on a brink of something very ugly that we never expected to happen here. They're banning free speech. They're banning free thought. They're not burning books, but they're banning them from being sold. They're not breaking storefronts yet, but they're keeping stores from selling certain items. And they're closing some of them under the excuse of COVID-19, while other ones are left open, wide open. They're not putting a yellow star on the citizens here in America yet. But pretty soon, if you haven't taken the COVID-19 test, or if you haven't given your complete loyalty to the Biden government, you will be labeled with a scarlet letter nonetheless. So no, we don't have any concentration camps yet. But there's plenty of Democrats that are calling for re-education of conservatives. So re-education, does that mean they're going to put us all in re-education camps? And where does that lead if you don't want to be re-educated? So you see, there's a lot of parallels between 1930s Nazi Germany and the United States of America. And those who are ignoring these warning signs are doing so at their own peril. My grandma and her family and many, many others in Europe never expected the Holocaust to happen. But it did happen. And believe me, it could happen right here in America if we're not careful enough with our liberties and our rights, and if we don't honor our Constitution. I want America to be that great country that liberated Europe. I want us to be the country that gave freedom to the rest of the world and gave hope to millions, millions of people who live under the yoke of tyranny and authoritarianism. I want America to be those soldiers that freed my grandmother. You know, at the end of the war, she found out that only her, her mother, and her younger brother survived the Holocaust. Hundreds of cousins and family members, including her father and her older brother, were murdered by the Nazis. But she never forgot. She never forgot what America did for her. And she always told us to remember that America is the greatest country in the world. And I have never forgotten that. And I never will. And I also will never stop fighting for this wonderful country that gave my family their freedom and saved their lives. A country that saved millions of people all over the world and gave hope to millions of others. I am forever in America's debt, and I plan to do the best that I can for the rest of my life to repay this debt. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the AJ Steele Show. Thank you for listening, and God bless. All I really want to be is a guy that gets a girl. All I really want to be. All I really want to be is a guy that gets a girl. The AJ Steele Show, copyrighted 2020.